Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we visit a heavy metal parking lot.
Where disco is evil.
I'm not really sure how to start this one. What do you think, Patrick? What should we say?
Well, you know, I think this is tres of a section.
A series.
About
public I like it when we do series, by the way.
Me too. So I think, you know, three episodes on a band could be good. And this is one on a band called Public Access TV.
Yeah.
Band based in Manhattan, not Brooklyn, which they proudly assert. They released a debut album, even though they've been together for a while, had a little buzz on them. Heavy press in the UK, which is kind of interesting to us. And they kind of got on our radar. We went to see them play, interviewed them, and have been talking to kind of their leader, right? The guy who's kind of held the band together. There have been a few ins and outs, but basically he's the guy that put the band together.
Yeah, John Etherly is his name. Really cool guy, and we so appreciate him hanging out.
John was great.
We recorded in this little, weird little recording booth at the club where they played, and we sat on the floor.
Yeah, right? We did. It was great. After the show, so it was really nice of him, right, to spend that time after driving, getting into town on inauguration day, playing a show, talking to some weird old guys.
Let me just, you know, while we have people listening, I hope they're still listening, just give Public Access TV a couple of plugs here. So the album is called Never Enough.
Uh-huh.
It was their debut album. They had some EPs and stuff before then.
Yep.
I think to our listeners, you know, you're really going to like it because it's just really poppy, cool guitar rock kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or they're going to wake up 3 days later and skip to the next one.
I hope they don't. Don't do that. but then also you can find out more about the band at patvmusic.com.
Well worth your while.
Check that out. Okay. So in this portion of the interview with John, we talk about songwriting, how he approaches that. And let's hear from John. While on location by the sea,
her skin was kissed by the sun. Yeah, baby, you and me. So Jim and I were talking earlier about reading some books about Dylan where he said, like, so I think the songs are already there. Right. And I just tapped into some sort of feeling and then I just kind of downloaded them or like channeled them. Do you ever feel that way? Because I think some of the songs on this record are pretty heavenly, pretty inspired.
I guess like they say the best songs write themselves kind of like that.
Yeah.
But certainly anytime that I'm like genuinely actually inspired, it's like I'm walking around and I record a voice memo and have a melody, or I've like been out hanging out for a while and then go home and I just like, you know, kind of hear it and then, you know, try to write it down. Because if I have that moment of inspiration and I don't write it down, I totally won't remember it.
Right.
But I will, will remember the shit that I'm like forcefully try to write as like work, you know, as like a craft. If I'm trying to write as like a craft and it's like as work and not just from like naturally coming to me.
Right.
It's
do you ever have that process where you say, I'm waking up at 8 and by 10 I'm going to write a song and I don't care how good it is? Or
I guess I can do that if, I don't know, it's easy for me to do that if I already have like a root of an idea that came from something natural and then it's like structuring it and like thinking more about it and making it into a song feels like work. But sometimes a song is just like done within minutes, you know? It's like Leonard Cohen said that it took him like 4 years to write his songs, and then like Bob Dylan says it takes him like no time, 15 minutes. But like, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that he was sitting down on his notebook for 4 years. It means that he like wrote a line or something and then didn't work on it and then worked on it the next year or something. So some of the songs on the record I could say took 6 years to make because like I wrote Remember pretty quickly, but the bridge on Remember I wrote like 4 years ago or something. So I took it and put it in, you know.
Yeah.
So like I don't know. Maybe that song took 4 years to write, but it sounds stupid to say.
Until it got done, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you see sort of an arc in your songwriting? Do you see like a progression, you know, from stuff you wrote and then the next one you're like, oh, wow, this is building on that? Or
I don't know. I guess it's always changing because I think, I don't know. It's weird because it's like when I was younger, I was like maybe trying to be more ambitious with like chord changes and like putting pre-choruses and post-choruses and all that kind of stuff. And then I don't know, but then you kind of want to dumb it down. Like, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like dumb it down, like just go from a verse to a chorus and not mm-hmm. have so many parts, or have a song that's just like one steady groove the whole time and then figure out a way to arrange the vocals in a way where it makes it feel like different sections of a song. So like I don't have like one way that I do it, you know.
Okay.
It's just kind of like depends on the song.
Okay, so we're gonna take a little break here.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we hear a little bit of this song, Remember?
I would like
that
to.
John talked about, and then we'll come right back. We're gonna talk about music videos.
Ah, fantastic. You and I have a new podcast, Jim.
Yeah.
It's fun to get together every day for coffee.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. It's kind of our morning ritual.
It's called Rock in the Suburbs, which is what we do. We're rocking it and we're living it.
Wake up, Rock in the Suburbs. We're competing with Good Morning America and some of those other shows.
Okay, we only have a short amount of time here, so let's tell people what they should do.
They should rate and review us on iTunes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And subscribe.
Right.
And if you don't have iTunes, if you listen to us through Audio Boom, you should follow the show there, because then you get updates on the show.
That's right.
All right. So do those things. It'll help us out. We would really appreciate it. That's it. And we're back on Rock in the Suburbs. Patrick is scratching his beard on the microphone, as he likes to do. And Patrick, you remember the 80s mm-hmm. a little bit?
I do. I remember most of it.
Yeah. And you remember there was a thing called MTV, and there was Night Flight.
Yeah.
And there was Friday Night Videos.
That's
and all
right.
that stuff. And every band had to put out a video, right?
Yeah, had to make one.
And I was wondering, like,
the golden age, Jim.
I know bands still do videos, but like, why? Because nobody seems to show them anymore, right? So how does that work? So mm-hmm. Public Access TV, you guys got to check this out. They do some really fun, funny videos, really quirky stuff. And so we asked John Etherly a little bit about that, and here's what he had to say. All right, one last thing I want to ask about is music videos. So you guys have some pretty creative videos. Going end of an era, you guys are sort of driving around in a Chrysler K car.
Absolutely.
Like that, you know, that.
Brilliant videos.
And, but even better, Evil Disco is sort of a takeoff on Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One where he gets buried.
Yeah. I don't know. We made most of it. That was the first music video that we didn't make ourselves.
Evil Disco?
Yeah. So everything else, End of an Era and like Patty Peru and On Location, like me and my best friend Ben, who's also my manager.
Yep.
Like, we made those videos together and like filmed them and edited them and just like rented a camera and did it for like $200.
No, I can
tell. And then Evil Disco was like, I guess, like the like try to do the same thing with a budget a little bit more, just so we could like rent all those cars and stuff. It was more just like an excuse to hang out in a parking lot and have everybody come, and like there was no cut in action, and there was also no listening to our song over and over again. We were just listening to the to the radio.
That's right.
To classic rock radio.
But you know the film Heavy Metal Parking Lot, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's exactly what we were referencing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's really cool. But what is
genius?
What do videos mean today? Like again, like Patrick and I grew up in like sort of the golden era of music videos and like MTV playing videos all the time. MTV doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know.
What is a video now?
I think a video is just another way to like push this our song to some more people. I don't know. I like it because it's fun to do, but like very easily you can look stupid in a video, and it's
gotta be the most awkward thing to lip sync to your own song.
Yeah, you know, so it's a tricky thing. I think that's why it's been nice doing it all ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we've like kind of done that aesthetic that we wanted to do for fun, of the kind of throwback kind of vibe, and we did that. And then Patty Prue video had like kind of a, I don't know, like some high school kids made a home movie kind of vibe to it, which
love
I thought
that
was
video.
Cool.
That's my favorite one. Yeah, the kidnapping and the burial. Yeah,
yeah, and I don't know. I'd like to, I guess, like change it up. I mean, videos. I just want to change it up. I want to make videos for all the songs.
But a video now, is it like, it has to go viral, right? Or does that have to be, do you think of that when you make it? Or
I suppose ideally you want
to. How do you approach it?
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like music videos used to be, like, really cool when you had, like, I don't know, who's, like, Michelle Gondry and making videos. Yeah. Like, who's doing that now?
Or, like, Tom Petty, You Got Lucky, right?
That yeah.
whole, like, I mean, space vibe thing, right?
Yeah, or even just
desolate
old
landscape.
Even old Petty just performance videos were like shot so cool and so that's kind of been the stuff that I was trying to rip off of.
And you guys made some great riding around in Manhattan with your, you know, in a convertible videos.
That
too,
was just an excuse to buy that car and like drive to the beach.
All right, so our thanks to John Etherly for spending some time with us and talking with us.
What a quality man. And they played a great set. I wish it was twice as long than it was, or three times, but great to connect with him. It seems like a genuinely talented guy who's earnest about his craft and kind of inspiring. That's a band to watch, man. I can't wait to hear what they do next.
I totally agree. And I think one of the really cool things about the Never Enough album is that it immediately captures your attention because of the catchy songs.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you listen to it, the more you realize there's a lot of nuance in some of these songs. And there's a lot of different, you know, kind of textures going on and all these kind of cliches that I tend to spout. But but it's true. It's, you know, the songs are not just sort of all the same. They're each one kind of has a different approach to it, a different way.
Genuinely.
It's trying to get you, right?
Genuinely. And so it was a fun night out for RTS, man. It was like the first big RTS night out. And I want to say thank you to the folks at the Songbird. They were very accommodating to us. You know, they helped us out, find a quiet spot, you know, helped us out with the show, got us where we needed to be, and were super nice about everything.
Yes, they were great. They were great. Yeah. We're going to hit them up again for more.
Great place to go. So I agree with Jim. If you're coming to DC and you want to go to some place that's not the 930 or, you know, the Black Cat or a place you've heard of, definitely go up to Adams Morgan. It's a different part of the city. Check out Songbird. Really nice place.
Do that. Okay. Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to do our little disclaimers and we're going to play some more music for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't disclaimers. Is that that's not the right word, but, our business, right?
Our
suburbs
business.
Pod business. Okay. Yeah. So closing business, it is this, you should listen to Rock in the Suburbs, as much as you can
every day.
There's a good, advice, and you can find it on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, or at suburbspod.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also just visit the website for fun because it's lots of fun.
Yeah, you can get rickrolled if you're not careful.
Yeah, that could happen. You can also find us on the social medias or on Facebook or Twitter at suburbspod. And you can also email us rock@suburbspod.com. And you can also call our Suburban Party Line, and that number is 612-440-1984. Right. And speaking of 1984, when John here was talking about sort of the low budget way they record videos,
yeah,
now it reminded me of the Van Halen Jump video from 1984, which reportedly right. was shot for like $600.
Yeah.
I think that was not exactly. actually true, but it was a very, very low budget video for the time. But that's pretty much how almost all videos are today, right?
Well, Alex Van Halen's dealer owed them $600. So that's how it worked
there
out.
You go. All right. So thanks again, Public Access TV. That was great. And check them out. And we are going to leave you now with the song Evil Disco. You really should go watch this video, because if anybody out there knows the heavy metal parking lot little Absolutely. Documentary film, you which know, was shot at
the Capitol Center
here near DC. Was it Judas Priest show?
That's right.
Yeah. It's a really, really funny film. And then this video is like a takeoff of that. Yeah. It's Evil Disco.
We'll put this video on the website. Yeah. So it'll be on this post.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Go to suburbspod.com. Uh-huh. All right.
Put the video right there.
We're actually helping you out.
There it is. Making it easy for you, folks. Right.
We're going out. You're on the list now. 17 with a dreamer.